is a place for us. Somewhere a place for us.
Joined by our good friend Carrie Crump,
right.
Who returns to the fold to do a film. So I had this whole speech I was going to lay out for this film because, to be honest, I was not excited about seeing it, not because of the film, but just because it feels like this is a film that should never have been remade. It's like in those pantheon of films that you're like, nah, don't touch. But they did it, so we're here. West Side Story.
And we said we were going to do it.
And we said we were going to do it.
Carrie.
We're doing it because I asked, because I wanted to basically say just what you said.
Oh, so we're good?
Oh, all right. So this is going to be a good show then. We're doing West Side Story, the 2021 remake of the original.
They like to call it a reimagining.
Yeah, they imagined something, all right. 1957 musical. An adaptation of the 1957 musical, West Side Story explores the forbidden love and the rivalries behind the Jets and the Sharks, two teenage street gangs of different ethnic backgrounds, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Ansel Elgort, Ariana DeBose, David Alvarez, Mike Faist, Rita Moreno, which was great to see her back on screen. Rachel Zegler. Mm-hmm. This is what threw me. It didn't throw me off, but it might be the first on our show. Mm-hmm. The budget was $75.5. They made $100.
I thought it was the reverse.
What's that?
That makes more sense.
Yeah. So
$100 million on the movie.
I mean, that's sad.
And this is 2021. It's like this isn't the whole full lockdown either.
Right. So I mean that speaks volumes right there. So
you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing budget $100 million, box office.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Because I think I might have transposed, which sucks.
Yeah. But you know, okay, this is not going to in any way give you any idea of how I feel about this film, but. On Disney Plus, they actually have a documentary, a 40-minute documentary, which I also watched.
You watched that?
On top of the 2-hour-and-40-minute fucking movie.
Wow.
You know, Spielberg, you know, looks so excited when while he's making this film. And at the very least, you know, it's someone that's passionate about the project. He said he grew up with this thing. So at the very least, I think we had one of the right people making this film, right?
Yeah.
What I find interesting, though, is that one of the big criticisms about the original is that it was made by two Jewish guys, Bernstein and the other one, I can't think, Robert Wise,
right,
with Stephen Sondheim writing the lyrics. Basically, they're like, hey, these two Jewish guys wrote this story about something they don't really even know about. What are you gonna do? And why they were going to originally do it about, I think, the fight between Jewish and Polish. I think I can't. Sorry, just looked it up. But that was one of the criticisms. And then I'm like, but then they turn around and said another Jewish guy did this movie. And they're like, oh, it's brilliant. It's great. It's this, that. And I'm like, why is this Jewish guy okay, but those Jewish guys weren't okay?
Because Spielberg.
Yeah.
Oh.
Spielberg is a trumps your two Jewish guys with one mega Jewish guy.
The mega Jew. Yes.
The mega Jew who I still feel didn't know what he was doing.
but they did bring in a Puerto Rican consultant. I can't remember the guy's name. It was in the documentary. I should have written it down. But they did bring consultants at least. They probably didn't do that for the first one. Maybe I'm speaking.
No, they did it. Listen, are there things that they could have done differently in the first one 50 years ago? Yeah. There's a lot of things that could have been done differently in life 50 years ago. But they weren't. Yeah. And I'm not going to sit on here and harp about everything that wasn't done the way it's done now.
Right.
50 years ago. I mean, we can't even compare 30 years ago to now. So
right.
I think that's also just a little ridiculous.
Why are you so mad? Jeez.
Do you feel that the director should have been Lin-Manuel Miranda?
But he already did In the Heights, man.
You know what? I don't necessarily feel that someone who's not of the culture can't make a movie about the culture. Right. I don't really have an issue with Steven Spielberg directing it necessarily. I just find that, you know, when people complain about the guys who did it originally to now, I'm like,
I don't really, it doesn't bother me either way.
I mean, a lot of it's the casting. So the casting in this is definitely improved. I mean, not acting wise, but representation wise. So
yeah. So Nate told me when I initially found out that Ansel Elgort was going to be Tony, I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna watch this movie. I'm not watching this movie. And she's like, you don't like him? I'm like, he's just not right for Tony.
No.
Not right.
And he could sing, though. He could sing.
Congratulations.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. He wasn't right for Tony.
Listen, I'm just being devil's advocate. Like, I think he looks strange. I'm sorry. We shouldn't be talking about people's appearances, but like, I think he looks weird. If you think about a Hollywood actor, he's not what comes to mind for me. He also didn't dance a lick. I mean, he did some little thing where he went like,
yeah,
and that was about it. That would, I think you need to dance in this film.
There's a little bit of dancing in this film, a couple minutes.
And he actually his movements in general, walking, running.
But he looks awkward.
He's very awkward. So, yes.
He wasn't, I didn't have an issue. I mean, I didn't have an issue. I put it like this. When they first said that they were doing a reimagining of West Side Story, and Spielberg was doing it, I was like, okay, I'm not thrilled, but it might be okay. I mean, Spielberg.
Right.
I know he can do stuff, but then when they said Ansel Elgort, I'm like, wow, you guys are really
starting off on the wrong foot.
Making it hard for yourself.
I'm like, this is not the way I thought we were going to go.
Do we have somebody that we think we should put forward as a replacement for him?
Oh, should we leave that for the final questions?
Okay. I'm just saying, man. I'm like, come on, bro. You know.
All right, we'll do it the final.
All right, we'll do it as final.
Write it down. All right. Before I get to kind of what you were just mentioning, yes, you know Steven Spielberg can do some things.
Right.
With this film, this is some IMDb trivia. Steven Spielberg becomes the first person to be nominated for Best Academy Award for Best Director over 6 consecutive decades.
Wow. Well, hats off to him.
Insane. But Carrie, you're the one that broke this news to us that they were making this film when we did the original. You broke it. Neither of us knew this. This is bad hosting. But you broke that to us. And at the time,
I believe at the time I was hating on Ansel.
I think you were hating on it, period. You're like, I think you said, I'm going to watch this just to hate, just to hate on it, something along those lines. So yeah, I see you've opened your mind up a little bit since then.
Preemptive hate.
No, I watched it only because it got so many reviews and people were just like, it's great, great, great. Almost, if not as good as the original, better. And I was like, really? All right.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, IMDb 7.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, critics 91%. Audience 94%.
Did we compare what did the original West Side Story get for on Rotten Tomatoes? I'm curious if it's better or worse.
What year was it again?
1957.
1961. Oh,
was it? Yeah, I think the play.
Oh, the play, the Broadway play.
Oh, yeah, right.
Let's see. It got 7.6 on IMDb, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 84 from the audience. Actually, less from the audience.
Interesting.
I'm going to venture that the 84% is from people who are watching it with a modern
lens.
Because I mean, Rotten Tomatoes didn't exist back then. Right. So,
yeah. But also, it is a bit too soon. Like, 1961 is a long time to have reviews, 60 years to have reviews for the original, while we only have a year right now for the new one. So we'll let that.
And I would guess the original, like the original reviews when it came out in 61, probably were much better than we would have seen across Rotten Tomatoes or, you know, because back then it was reviewers. It was actual press and reviewers who were doing the reviewing, not people.
Right.
So
were Siskel and Ebert alive back then?
Siskel was probably 10 years old.
Yeah. They weren't reviewing back then either. And I think it was the first movie that centered Latinos in a story and made them like real people.
Right.
So I think that also probably played into the reviews of it being more positive because this was kind of something new you know, at that time.
Yeah.
And so was it, what's her name? I can't remember her name. Did she won Best Actress or Supporting Actress for that one?
Supporting Actress.
So, I mean, that was huge.
And she was the first Latina to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
So that also, you know, made it a big deal, too. But, I mean, it was made of its time. So, yes, there were definitely some missteps. Of course, they should have hired more actors of a Latino background. But, I mean, even now, sometimes they will put someone in a role because of face recognition.
Right.
And people will be like, even now, Rachel Zegler, she's not Puerto Rican.
Right.
She's only half Colombian. Could people get upset and say, what? You couldn't find a Puerto Rican actress to put in the lead to play a Puerto Rican?
Well, they did get upset for In the Heights for lack of Afro Latino representation. So right. They can get mad. Yeah,
so everybody absolutely can get mad about something, but at that time, having Rita Moreno was a big deal. So you know, to say, oh, they should have done this and that back in the day. Okay, but
yeah,
they did something revolutionary back then.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's always going to be critics. I mean, but it's good to look at the, you know, what can be improved on top of, you know, the positives about that. You know, yeah, okay, this is a groundbreaking film, adaptation of a musical.
Right.
It clearly one of the best musical adaptations of film, adaptations of musical in history. And that's from someone that's not a musical person. But yeah, you know, and yeah, there was things that could have been improved, and they've done it here in this reimagining. Yeah. I think in the documentary, Spielberg says the time has come again because this should be shared generationally. Now, do I agree with that? I don't know. You could just share the original one.
Yeah.
But maybe because of that representation, I don't know.
And teach why, what could have been better about it. Because to me, that's another thing too. If you keep making new things, sometimes younger people won't learn what was wrong in the first place. And as you always say, you know, what's about if you don't learn about history, you're doomed to repeat it. Something like that. So it's kind of like, if you don't know what you did wrong in the first place, or that even there's an original that exists, then that could in some ways be a negative. But I will say, congratulations, yes. They did right by casting real Latinos as Latinos. That said, that's probably all I'm going to give it.
I mean, yeah. That feels like that's all they really did.
Well, I mean, they did do some stuff.
I feel like they did too much. I feel like they were trying to check a bunch of checks and a bunch of fill a bunch of buckets. And I'll tell you one of my first gripes. No subtitles.
I had to put the captions on while I was watching, and even then I had to stop certain times to kind of, what the hell does that mean? I mean,
right. Well, that was intentional. Here's my problem with the intention of that. I actually took notes this time. I didn't take notes last time. But I took notes.
Oh my God.
Chris was... We were just talking about that.
Okay, I took notes, guys. So, wait, I took so many notes. I can't even find what page is on now. Okay, so Spielberg says that he hoped the inclusion of Spanish along with English would help create curiosity in the minds of viewers. He wanted audiences, Spanish-speaking and English-speaking, to sit in a theater together so the English-speaking audience will suddenly hear laughter coming from the pockets of the theater from the Spanish-speaking audience and make them curious as to what was being said. What's interesting to me is that he said he wanted inclusion. Not putting subtitles is actually excluding, because your Spanish-speaking audience, especially if they, most of them live in the United States, speak English or understand enough English to understand the English and understand the Spanish.
Right.
And for your Spanish-speaking audiences, they're going to have subtitles that are in Spanish for the English parts, and they'll understand the Spanish. So the only people who can't 100% understand the movie are English-speaking people, the only ones who only speak English. Any other country that this movie is in, and they do the subtitles in Korea, the Koreans will understand the entire movie because they'll get subtitles for the English and the Spanish. But here in America, it's like, oh no, you know, we don't want to center. I didn't find it, but I remember reading it where they were like, we don't want to center whiteness and you know, Americanness. So we're doing what's authentic, which I find to be an interesting word for a musical, because people don't walk down the street singing songs as
I do.
Well,
what are you talking about?
I do it every time I go to the, you know, Safeway or.
We're not going to get into that.
Oh, okay.
We don't want the people to know. No, but I mean, people don't walk down the street singing and dancing out of nowhere. So authentic in a musical is a little
dumb.
Know, like, oh, we want it to be authentic, and you know how Puerto Ricans speak Spanish and they speak English. Great, that is true. However, if you want me to be a part of the story, that's why you're making the movie, right? Because you want me to be a part of the story. So then why would you not translate, especially some pivotal stuff, like the whole conversation Leah and Chino had?
Right.
What? Right.
What? It just creates a whole bunch of inside jokes, or, you know, kind of, and how do you enjoy, it's like being in a room at a party, and you, no one there speaks the same language,
right? And no one bothers to
translate for you, right?
And so we know that doesn't happen. I'm sure we've all been in rooms with people who speak other languages, but you always have that friend who they'll have a whole conversation, but your friend will come over and be like, "Oh my God, so this is what we were saying," just to help you out, just to hook you up.
Right.
Like if you're in a restaurant and your friend's speaking Spanish to the waiter, you don't necessarily have to have that translated because you know, you're just ordering the food. Okay. But if they go off and have a 20-minute conversation right in front of your face, your friend's going to be translating Right. At least YouTube translating so that you know what's going on.
So the question here is, do you think this, did this really like stop you from understanding what was happening in the film?
It didn't stop me from understanding. One, it didn't stop me from understanding because I'm from New York City. So I understand a lot of Spanish. And that's a privilege that we have. But some people who are maybe out in the Midwest who don't
have
Spanish people, that's something that really will be like, well, I don't, what are they saying? I don't, you know, I can't watch this movie. They're going to keep putting stuff in Spanish and they're not going to tell me what they're saying. It's not in the subtitles. I can't, I'm not interested. I mean, even parts where I literally, like you said, Darren, where they were saying stuff and I had to stop and be like, wait, what did they say?
Because it was kind of key to that moment.
Yeah.
You know, so not knowing what they're saying kind of takes you out of the moment, like suddenly.
Yeah. It's not just little phrases, puts in, it was conversation. And you're like, what? Okay.
It technically breaks the fourth wall. And that's a terrible thing if it's not intentional. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because you're suddenly saying, now the audience is part of that moment, but we're not going to tell you what's going on.
Right.
So.
And I feel that that was a performative act where it's like, we're going to respect the Spanish by not respecting how it is in their house. They talk in Spanish, they talk in English, they don't translate in their house. But if I'm a guest sitting in your house, you are going to translate for me. Also, I didn't understand why they would keep talking. I know some of it when they would talk to people, Americans in Spanish, was to kind of like nitpick. But there's a scene where Tony comes to see Maria and she's yelling things at him in Spanish. And I'm like, to a point where he goes, what does that mean? And I'm like, why would she speaks English? Why is she telling him, like, well, you're crazy, what you're doing here? Go away from, just say it in English.
Yeah.
Why would you say that stuff to him in Spanish? You speak English. So
I mean, sometimes when people get worked up.
She wasn't that worked up. This wasn't like
clearly she was. She was telling him to leave. So
she was, but she wasn't. I get what you're talking about because I have friends who are in intercultural relationships, and usually they say, like, when they're arguing, when your emotions are high, yeah, you do scream out some things in your mother tongue because it's just like I can't translate right now. That wasn't what was happening there. She was just like, what are you doing here?
Are you putting words in her thoughts in her head? You don't know how she was feeling.
I'm saying that was very performative and completely unnecessary. And they're sitting up, and there was more than a few times where they were saying things in Spanish that were like to English because they weren't necessary. Because it's like you speak English, like just you just
kind of right.
Movie.
I'm sure we have some more things to bash, so let's move on from the Spanish.
Bash.
Oh, my other thing is Lincoln Center, the beginning of the movie, when they talk about that they're tearing everything down from Lincoln Center, that was San Juan Hill neighborhood, which was predominantly African American.
Mm.
Yeah, they mentioned that in the documentary, but they really just breezed over it, and then they have what's her name saying, you know, it's so devastating how they were knocking down buildings and pushing out these families. I think it was Rachel Zegler, and she's like, yeah, because this was a Puerto Rican neighborhood.
Right.
But you just said it was a black neighborhood before, so what happened to the black folks?
Yeah.
Well, they moved.
or got moved.
Yeah.
The first gentrification.
You added that, and then when you just look it up in 2 seconds, they'll just say it's predominantly African American, and yes, Puerto Rican. But it's like, okay, why'd you focus on that then? If you're not even showing them in the movie, you're not even showing. I mean,
there are a few black people.
There's a few Afro Puerto Ricans, but
There's one black dude that was the gun dealer. Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that one, but
oh yes, the
positive role models.
Yeah,
and there were just like black people in the background, like on the subways and in restaurants and stuff like that. Yeah, But I mean, that's the same thing with the, actually, I don't remember the original one.
Well, I think that's the problem with redoing a movie like this, because you can't, like, the first one, you understand how they cast because of when they cast, of what the environment was when they made this movie. But now, it's almost like you don't have many excuses anymore not to do correctness in certain things on your screen. And that becomes a challenge and a problem if you don't do it correctly, which leads to this moment where individuals who are critics and stuff can tear your film apart and basically say, hey, maybe you didn't, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. I don't know. So,
to me, it's like, why add it if it's wrong?
Right. So, I mean,
to add,
it becomes a completely different film.
Yeah.
And like when you do it now, and it's fine. Like, you know, there are certain, I think it's not bad to try certain films, but I just think this one was kind of going to be a tough sled because of the subjects it was trying to reach, you know, and racism in the 60s was different than it is now. Mm-hmm. And trying to mask it by reimagining the neighborhood.
What do we think about, I mean, other aspects of this film, like, say, technically speaking? I mean, I feel like they did a lot of the coloring they use and the cinematography was taken right out of the original. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, you have some contemporary twists with the filming, but not really, not a lot.
So I did a lot more set pieces.
Watching and the old one and the new one next to each other. The old one was much more vibrant, much more colorful. I feel the color in this movie is stripped down a little bit. I guess maybe to show
oldness.
I don't know.
Maybe that. It could also be because they're shooting on celluloid back then versus digital, and digital tends to flatten out colors sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more big. I mean, this was a bigger film in the production set design of it. That I'll give them props for. They did a fantastic job of the set design. Just spectacular. You couldn't tell the differences between the actual set pieces and the digital screens behind them that were kind of pushing some of the stuff in the background, which I thought was really kind of, I mean, it's Spielberg, right? That's his thing, right? So he if anything, he'll get that right. So,
well, speaking of set designs, we're not really going chronologically here with anything, so I feel okay doing this, but the original film has this the America song set on the rooftop with just like the Puerto Rican actors or characters. In this film, they threw it out on the streets and made it a lot bigger. How do we feel about that?
The dance was great.
I don't have a major issue with them. I don't know why they moved it from one to the other, but it didn't, to me, change the character of the movie too much. I will say I like the performances in the original because I felt everyone in the original was more cheeky. Like, there's this one particular scene that I love where Bernardo is saying, terrible time in America, and Anita, like, reaches out her arm and catches him, and she goes, you forget I'm in America. And everybody's like, oh! And when they do it in the new one, she just says it and then goes on. Nobody reacts to it. And I'm like, to me, that was such a lie, because he's just like, that's a terrible time in America. She's like, you forget I'm in America. I felt like there was just a lot of little nuanced things like that they just didn't lean into. Yeah.
I mean, well, I actually didn't notice how this was said, but I do like the line from that song, life is all right in America if you are white in America. you know, I mean, a lot of what they talk about in the documentary is like, you know, the issues they were talking about then still being pertinent now. I think that line kind of captures that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's 100% correct. Though it's interesting too, though, in looking at the original next to this one, it didn't seem, yes, they didn't like that it was Puerto Ricans, you know, but on the turf. But it seemed more that it was just like turf more than like Puerto Ricans.
Right.
It was just like, they're the next ones that we got to get rid of. We got rid of the Emeralds,
right.
We got rid of the Kings, we got rid of the Bishops.
And that's what Riff essentially says, right?
Yeah.
It's not about race, it's about turf.
Which is weird. Because it was completely about race. I mean,
it was about race, but it was about race, but in the original, when they were fighting each other,
right.
It was more about when they originally were going to be fighting each other. It was more about their tribe. Then when Maria came
right.
with Tony, then it became more about like. White Puerto Rican, whereas in this movie, like from the jump, you know, painting over the Puerto Rican flag just made it to me all about race from like the beginning of it, and I also feel like they made them just way more violent in the sense that they just wanted to fight like from the jump. Whereas in the first one, like when they were doing the whole dance, you know, as Jets, they were just dancing. They were just being Jets. Bernardo shows up and they're just like, you know, they kind of taunt him a little bit. And they're like, eh, let's leave him alone. They go on, they're dancing. They see some Puerto Ricans. They're kind of scared. But they go, like, nobody's, like, really trying to, like, fight until they get to the basketball court. And two of the minor guys kind of get into a tussle, and then everybody starts fighting. It was about race, but it was also just kind of about turf and, you know, we'll box each other to protect our turf kind of thing. So I think
it's very much like, I mean, you think about what was happening during that time. Like, it was about fighting for scraps, and by scraps I mean places to live in New York City. Like, there was a big shift. Different cultures were shifting all over the city, so everybody was kind of trying to fight for their own piece of that pie, and you know. It just gets messier and messier, like when you get lower and lower on the food chain, right? I mean, and these kids, which are essentially what they were the last line of this pre-gentrification of sorts, which makes, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, that they're not very educated. A lot of the jobs were, a lot of immigrants were coming into the States at the time. So a lot of jobs are going to what they perceived others that not before them. And this is a trickle down effect from their parents feeling that pressure to kind of make a way, make life for themselves in America at the time. Okay. So it makes sense that these kids would be out there in the streets kind of scrapping to grab what little's left for them.
But this also goes back to that learning from history thing that Carrie mentioned earlier, and it's, you see that historically, not just you know here, but obviously when like even the Irish first came into the United States, and the original you know inhabitants were like, oh, these are the immigrants taking our jobs, and the Italians come in and like, no, these are the immigrants, and the Italians and the Irish are now the protagonists, and like
Polish,
keeping them down, and the Chinese, and like so. I mean, it's a story throughout the you know throughout the history of this country that's happened over and over again. We clearly haven't learned about it because you know even now
still going through it.
after like 9/11, it was like you know Arab people, and now it's kind of back to Chinese people because you know we're all afraid of fucking COVID, which, you know, hurts.
Yeah.
But, I definitely, it's, you know, kind of, I just find it more interesting that it's more pronounced in this version of the movie than it was in that version when it was closer to when it was happening, you know?
Yeah. It was like, if you hadn't seen this one, and someone walked up to you and asked you, hey, what do you think West Side Story is about? You'd be like, it's a love story, and it's, you know, it's a story of redemption, and a story, you know. It wouldn't, I don't think most people would say it was a race war or a battle, you know, for good and evil or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think most people would identify it as a romance, you know. It's almost similar, I mean, to Romeo and Juliet or any of the
Capulets and the Montagues,
right?
The Jets and the Clarks.
But this one, like, to your point, yeah, I think there was a little bit more focus on that element than the original one, probably.
Well, I'll tell you what, I really felt like, you know, watching this film, I felt like the main story was the immigrant story.
Right.
I felt like it's a lot more focus on the Puerto Ricans and their journey here, the American dream, their struggle. It's like, to me, it's Maria's love story.
Right.
It's Maria's family struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Jets are just
the bad side.
Guy. Like they're just there. They're almost, to me, they're almost comic relief in this film. So
I think that was the point. I think that's what they were struggling for.
Yeah. So that to me, like the love story to me is secondary to this immigrant story.
Mm. It kind of happened kind of fast too.
Oh my god! Oh, don't even get me started.
Oh my god! Wait a minute, what?
This story happens in 2 days. This story happens in 2 days.
In fact,
I'm out.
But you have to remember, it is based on Romeo and Juliet. And
yeah.
Juliet, also when you kind of go through it, it is very quick.
Well, that's also stupid.
But also,
damn Shakespeare.
The original West Side Story, it also, yeah, it's quick. It's in 2 days. But what to me makes it, again, it's a musical. So you're stretching the imagination. Can you talk about one of the songs?
Sure.
Okay, so when they go to the bridge.
Don't say Maria, I'll kill you.
No. When they go to the dance, I have like a couple of favorites in the movie. The dance is one of my favorites.
Mm.
So, in the original, Maria's like, it's really important that, you know, I enjoy this dance because it's my first time as a young lady in America. And she does this twirl, and in the twirl, it then morphs into everyone at the dance already. And they're doing the dance. So I always love that. And this one, it shows them like, you know, the modern, and even modern Bowman's people. Okay, not that big of a deal. But then when they get into the dance, like, it's some hardcore dancing going on. And it's a dance battle, but it's not like, to me, as violent as this one. Because like a lot of these, you know, they're picking up the girls and they're chipping in each other's faces and all that. Like, which is like, you can really hurt somebody. Like, they're like, this is a school dance. Like, you kind of, you know, kind of getting someone's face with the whole picking up people's face. I don't know. But in the original, basically what they do to let you know that this is a fantasy and like, not real, is when Maria and Tony see each other, everything fades away, and they come to each other and they do that dance that Chris was talking about. And they do the dance, and then they say some stuff to each other, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, he's like, you're not thinking of someone else, do you? And she's like, no, I don't think so. And he, you know, whatever. And then they kiss. And then her brother comes along and like knocks him off. But you realize when he does that, this is only actually like a minute has passed.
Yeah.
You hear the music, they're still in the same music. Like only a short, very short time has passed because everything else was like fantasy. Whereas here, they go behind the bleachers and everybody else is still dancing.
Yeah.
This is all happening in real time. One, I want to be like, where is the mother? How does he not notice that his sister is missing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's so important.
Yeah.
He don't not notice. She's like, how is nobody going to
just
that? And this whole thing happens in real time. So to me, that was very, if you want to say, fake. Because
yeah,
at least in the original, it was like a fantasy, and it happened very quickly. Yes, fake, but love at first sight. I mean, it can happen.
I don't know. Maybe it was just the way it was. Yeah, the way it was executed. But I almost got the feeling that it was a kind of a fantasy, because even like when Maria walks over it behind the bleachers and then she has this light shining from behind her, it seems right. Kind of fantasy like, and maybe just that was the interpretation gone wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that I couldn't help but think about that when my mind could not wrap around the fact that they're doing this under the bleachers and nobody knows where they're at. And I'm like, with her brother being so possessive, I was just like, I don't know, man.
How I felt like, where's her brother? Like, how hasn't he come to look for her in all of this time? Whereas in the original one, you knew it was a fantasy. You knew right. It wasn't real. So him, when they kiss and he comes and he knocks him up, you know only a short period of time has passed. And he hasn't really let Maria out of his sight that much. It was just like they were just drawn to each other.
I mean, I kind of accepted it was a fantasy, but I was like, they were stretching it for me.
Well, I have a more important question. Ansel, is Tony allowed to imitate his Puerto Rican boss?
Oh, my.
Yeah, I was like, what? What?
I have a whole section about the racism that is in the movie that I was like, what? Why? Yes.
Well, okay. Before we go down that road, right? I want to set the stage here because. So I was listening to Roy Wood Jr.'s new album, his new concert, and there's a section of it. You definitely have to listen to it. There's a section where he says, he's like a lot of people. So I don't know if you saw Django, right? And there's a scene where Leonardo DiCaprio is basically demeaning. He's saying the N-word. He's doing his thing, grooving. And Roy Wood argues that we need more of that. We need more accurate representation by our white allies on in movies, and for you know him to do that, he had to be pretty brave to do it. So I would posit that maybe we should be calling Spielberg a white ally because he's like, you know, he's doing his best to give accurate representation.
Spielberg or Tarantino?
Well, I don't know about Tarantino. I think he enjoys the word too much. So, but
no.
She's like, no, and I gotta go now.
Why I say no is because he was like, oh no, we want to respect the Latinian community. We want to give all this respect. We want to center them more in the story. We want to make them equal. So you're trying to put a 21st century mindset on this film. So if you're going to do that, why would you willingly, voluntarily make the choice to have him mocked?
Oh, no. I'm hearing a bunch of noise. Okay. Who was that?
That was me. Sorry.
Okay. No problem.
Over the thing. Sorry.
Yep.
Like, why would you... Like, what did that add to the movie?
Well, maybe he just, you know, maybe, oh, like, look, I had problems with it. I ain't gonna lie, but maybe he was trying to own the fact that there was racism in this original, the original one, and there's racism in this one, and this. You know.
Maybe he's just identifying that yes, Tony used to be a part of the Jets, and he probably used to think the same way that he do, but he is changing, but he hasn't completely changed yet.
Maybe. Yeah.
Rolling the dice. Is that?
She's like,
we'll go with it. So explain to me though then why he changed Maria and all her friends from being dressmakers to being housekeepers.
I didn't even notice what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because that to me, you know, the 1961 version, they were dressmakers. They worked
right.
A nice, and a lot of things were set in the dress shop, which
right.
also, like the I feel pretty, just right. saying that in the dress shop, and when her and Tony did the mock like meeting of the parents, they used the mannequins, they did that in the dress shop, but then they made them housekeepers. And I'm like, wait, so in 1961,
right,
they saw them as dressmakers, but in 2021 we see them as housekeepers. Is that was that the adding to the authenticity?
Well, I mean, that's the maybe. Well, I actually have no idea what the realistic reality was in 1961,
right?
Of what profession would be more realistic in a 1960s racist society compared to now.
But think about it. They made them dressmakers. Then it would have made sense to make them housekeepers.
Right, but so maybe that was unrealistic. Right, that's what I'm saying. That was unrealistic. So they were trying to make it more realistic now.
That doesn't. It's a musical. There's nothing's real in a musical. So if it was unrealistic in 1961, just keep it unrealistic.
So you love this film, this reimagining.
You don't even know, boy. You don't even know the feelings I got. I got 10 pages of notes here.
I think we're getting a good idea.
Also, I didn't care for the line where I understood it. I just felt like when the Jets and the Sharks are fighting at the beginning, and Lieutenant Shrink and Officer Krupke came, and Bernardo said something, and Riff was like, "Oh, I don't speak Spic," and I was like.
Yeah.
That wasn't necessary.
Was that not in the original? I feel like it would have been.
Not even close. Not even, like I said, in the original, they didn't really reference race as a reason for them fighting.
It was just assumed, yeah.
Right, until it became, I don't want you talking to that Pollock. And that, honestly, the first time something racial came out was from Bernardo when he says that Tony's a Pollock. And then it became more about Puerto Ricans against the whites. Prior to that, it really was about turf and, right. and holding onto their turf. So it, that's what I'm saying. There's more racism, more racist basis in this movie. In the original.
I mean, I would argue that turf is probably really more of an excuse.
Yeah.
I feel like the racism is probably underlying in the original.
But remember, they beat up the kings, the emeralds, and the bishops. Why? For turf. So the Puerto Ricans are just the next ones.
Well, now this is just making me think more macro about this whole thing, which is yes, in the history of the world, it really hasn't been about where you're from, what you look like. It's about resources and, you know,
who has
the most. I own this to you. I own this shit. And then race is an excuse to put people on different levels. So maybe this is a microcosm of that conversation.
We just got smart up in here. I will argue that if in the beginning of this movie, Remember, as they pan out and they're coming up from the ground with the cans of paint, and they're walking in the street. I would argue if those cops had to stop them and frisk them when they were driving, they were walking in the street, this whole movie wouldn't have happened. So there's that.
That is true.
I was like, I'm sorry.
I believe stopping a frisk was more our time.
I don't know.
I also feel that the other thing in the original, Lieutenant Schrank hated all of them.
Yeah.
He hated all. Now, Lieutenant Schrank, there was some racism in him, but it's not like he looked at the white kids
and was siding with them instantly.
Right. He was like, listen, I hate all of you. I really want all of you like to not exist, but you know, I can't do that. So it was just kind of like, all right.
But I thought
when he was a little bit.
Well, they were kind of stupid too. I mean, though, because if I were Riff at that moment in time, I'd been like, that dude right there, and that dude right there, and that dude that. Because the cop even asked him, he's like, just point to somebody, I'll arrest him for you.
But think about it. Think about even gangs now. A gang will never tell the police. They're handling it themselves.
I know.
So that was the one thing that they were united on, is that we hate the cops.
Snitches get stitches.
Right. Your side and our side. We'll handle this ourselves. We're not bringing the cops in. But in this one, it's just more like he's saying, hey guys, just tell me and I'll put someone in jail for you and I'll take them down. In the original, he wasn't like that. He was just like, look, I hate you all and I hate y'all. Y'all keep this up, I'm running everybody
right
to jail. Like, I don't care. I don't care. None of you mean anything to me, which I appreciated. I appreciated that he just hated all juvenile delinquents, regardless of their race.
I guess I had a different interpretation. Because he did kind of give the Jets a pep talk, like, y'all could be doing better for yourselves and going,
right,
instead of sticking around here, whereas he didn't give a shit about what happened to the Puerto Ricans.
Right. In the original, Strength and Care, he didn't...
Oh, the original.
In the original, I'm sorry. In the original, he didn't pep talk them. He wasn't trying to help them out. He didn't... He hated all of them equally.
Right.
Equally, he thought they were
equal
all...
opportunity.
Yeah. Yes. So, that's what I'm saying. In this one, it was more like, hey guys, I can help you, like, do better for yourselves, whatever. And when they kind of mocked him, then he turned on them. Shrank, in the original, Shrank was like, I will run all of you into the ground.
This is a question that Carrie, you probably do know the answer to. In the original, do they go straight from the knife fight scene? The where everyone dies, to the I Feel Pretty scene.
I feel pretty happens way before.
Yeah, right.
And that was probably intentional as well to have this juxtaposition of like darkness and then like lightness. I don't know if that. I was just like, whoa, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, it was like laid out weird.
Yeah.
The other part that gets me is after Bernardo is killed and Tony comes to see Maria. I'm trying to remember because I didn't watch this again in this one. I remember it from the original because I've seen the original too many times. Yeah. But I just remember in the original, he comes to her and she's, very upset and she's, banging on his chest and she's calling him a killer. And then she just like falls into his arms. She's like, she just found out that her brother died. So even though he's the one who did it, he's grieving. I mean, she's grieving. And he hugs her and then, tells her that he didn't mean it and that, they should just go off together and then they do their thing. In this one, I didn't understand why she slept with him because I felt like too much time had passed.
I kind of understood that, though. It's because I think she saw it as the, like, remember he comes and he says, I'm going to turn myself in.
And I think she was just kind of like, well, if you're going to go away, let me give you some booty before you go, kind of thing.
But they were going to run away together still.
To me, it came across more like that than in the original. Was more like he was also grieving.
Right.
And she was, and it was more like
console.
It was like consoling each other in this moment. I felt in this one, it was more like you're saying, it was just kind of like, all right, well, let me give you something before you hit the road. And I was like,
well, that is 2021, right? I mean, so yeah.
I know, it felt dirty.
You know, but because this whole, like, this story feels so compact,
yeah.
Maybe we're supposed to imagine that, like, a lot of these moments happen a little more spread out, so that this, like, she finds out that her brother's dead, he killed him, and then he's showing remorse, and then, like, maybe that's all supposed to be, like, we're supposed to imagine this as a longer, drawn-out story,
maybe.
But because we only have 2.5 hours, which is a lot of fucking time,
right.
It's, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out a reason, because everything just happened, the whole love story happens way too fast, and it makes sense that this part of the story would happen really fast, too, and it's just like a what-the-fuck moment unto itself.
But see, the fact that you keep saying the story happens way too fast, and I think when you watch Romeo and Juliet and you know it's happening really fast, or you watch the original and you know it's happening really fast, and yet it feels like everything is moving in the time that it should. Whereas this, to me, I felt this, everything is happening way too fast. Like, this is, I actually felt that in this one. And I felt it was like too deep. Like when he went to the cloisters and he did like the marriage thing.
Yeah.
It felt so deep. In the original, they were like in the dress store and they kind of did it, but the environment they were in didn't really bring in like religious
over. It wasn't so heavy. Yeah.
Right. It wasn't so heavy. Or
I could have done without that.
Yeah.
Or even the fact that he had almost killed someone and he went to prison and it changed his life. In the original, Tony was just like, listen, I'm growing older. I've got a job. Like, I'm not doing the gang anymore. Like, that made sense. He was just
I didn't remember that from the original. So.
Yeah.
He just literally was just like, guys, like, I'm just getting older. Which is why in this one, Tony going to the dance also didn't make sense to me. You're on parole. Why? And you know what Riff wants. Why would you go to the dance? Why would you go to the dance?
Well, after
wait a minute. You can't be talking about realism if you dismiss realism with the musicals now.
She's like, whoa. Whew.
Right, I forgot. You're right. Makes total sense for a parolee to go to a dance full of.
No. It doesn't have to make sense. That's the argument.
That's it. Right? That's it.
Right. No, you're right. Just. That's what we do. That's what happens so that he can meet Maria.
Well, can we talk about some of the performances in this?
Sure.
I do think there are some positive performances in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's a no. All right. Yeah.
Well, Rita Moreno is always a queen. I didn't like her role in this movie. It made no sense to me, but she's a queen. I feel she should have been like Maria's abuela. If you're gonna create a character,
her voice is so young.
Yeah,
it does not sound like, I don't know how old she is, but it does not sound like an X-year-old person singing.
Yeah,
it doesn't. But I mean, she's in her 80s, so she can easily play the abuela.
She's actually 90.
Okay, so. She was in her 80s, but yeah.
So, I mean, that's crazy.
Oh my God, let me tell you something. I've met her a couple of times. She is so small. She's like so petite. She's so cute. Like, you just want to pick her up.
Yeah. But she's like 5'2", 5'3", something like that.
But she's just like, she's kind of like Betty White in that sense that you just don't want anything to ever.
She's a treasure, man.
I think you mean Betty Blanca.
Single-handedly set podcasting back 10 years.
Listen, I'm kind of afraid to say this, knowing Carrie's feelings on this film, but I really, really enjoyed Ariana DeBose's
Me too. Performance. I liked her a lot.
I liked her.
I liked her.
And no issues with her performance as a whole. I have no issues with her winning the Oscar. I just felt like I said, that little thing where in the original, like Anita, you know, kind of grabbed Bernardo. I felt like Rita Moreno, when she played Anita, was a little bit more sassy and a little bit more, which of course, you know, stereotype. But I liked her spirit. I felt a little bit more spirited, but I'm fine. Like, it was okay.
Well, Ariana is also half white, so you know.
And also, remember, a lot of the
that's how we roll. Happy's roll together.
A lot of the people who were in the original West Side Story, they were actual dancers. They weren't actors who had to dance. They were dancers who became actors. So I think there's a, especially when it comes to Tony, it took away some of the energy that was in some of the performances. But I loved her. I mean, I thought she was really, she had a really couple really good moments on, like when she lied and told homeboy that
she was dead.
That was fucked up. That was messed up, but I appreciated the move.
I mean, yeah, again, I didn't have any issues with it. It's just, it was one of those things when you've seen something
a billion times.
Of course.
Garrett, I felt her performance was just a little bit more toned down than Rita Moreno's. But another issue that I had, though, were like the Jets' girlfriends. So in the original, Graziella and Velma, to me, played a much bigger part. Like, for one, you knew their names. In this one, you don't know Velma's. In fact, in this one, you barely know any of the gang members' names.
Right. Whereas
in the original, I knew like everyone's names. I thought that was a little bit weird. Like, they kind of made them much more background players.
Right.
But in this one, I will give credit where Graziella and Velma were helping Anita, you know, when she was in there. Like, they kind of stood up for her type of thing.
But it's almost out of nowhere because we don't know what their names are, what they're really their relationships are. So yeah, it's kind of like, oh, all of a sudden we're going to give them a little spotlight. So yeah.
Right. So that, I give them the credit for that. But again, it was like, who are these ones? Who are they? Where did they come from? You know, because they're not really shown much. My other issue, and I feel that this was just, this to me was trying to cram something in that wasn't, again, necessary. Anybody's making anybody's a trans character.
Oh.
I didn't have a problem with anybody's being trans. I had a problem with them focusing so much on anybody's being trans. In the original, anybody's was just like the rest of them, you know, no parents, kind of, not no parents, but just out there in the streets, just wants to be accepted in a group, like all the rest of them. And I never really thought too hard about anybody's sexuality or gender. I guess, yeah, they looked like a female, but there was never like a focus on female, you know, or trans or anything. And anybody's was just there. Anybody's was just there, had the Jets back. That was it. And then they realized at the end, anybody's has always been there and accepted anybody's in. This one, when they had the whole fight in the police station about she's a girl, I'm not a girl, and anybody's was super violent and like punching everyone and punching the cop. I'm like, why?
That was actually one of my favorite scenes, man. She kicked some ass. She kicked everybody's ass in that scene.
Well,
he kicked everybody's ass.
The second, it was just like, okay, so now we're gonna cram in this too. I don't know, like, and also like, why is anybody's trans necessarily and not like a butch lesbian?
I mean, that was just a choice. I mean, I guess I would agree with you in the aspect that we are looking at the 50s, 60s, and that really wasn't a conversation being had. So.
Right,
and they don't necessarily say trans. They don't use the word trans, so it could be like it could be trans in those days. But I don't know. It was a decision that was just made.
Right, I don't think it was I don't think it was a conversation. A huge conversation would have had, because back then they probably would have looked. They probably looked at anybody as a tomboy.
Right. Well, that's probably how they identify, because there's probably no other term or a term that anyone would care to try to figure out, I guess, you know. But again, it comes back to trying to do a film that trying to take the same subjects in 1961, bring it forward. You're faced with the realization that now you've got to. Got to talk about it, and how do you present it? And you've got to present it in a way that people aren't going to do the well. How come we were underrepresented? Or you know, so I think he was feeling the pressure of that moment.
But you make that your character. Own picture when you add that in, because true. They could have made like there's a scene in the dance where the two guys are dancing. Anybody joins them and then puts out their hand to one of the girls and they like walk away. So right there, if you're watching it, then you say, oh, is anybody's a lesbian? Oh, is anybody's trans? You can come up with that on your own.
Yeah.
You can, that scene right there is enough to me where it's like a person can come up with, it's very clear that anybody's is not just a tomboy who's now going to, you know, turn into a flower, wear a dress at some point in her life. There's something else going on here. And maybe you could put in another line where, like, even when they said, when they were in the police station, they maybe could have put in one line where anybody's kind of says, I have, you know, something about like, I have more balls than you do, or something, whatever. Where you're just kind of like, oh, okay. Instead of it making like, it became like this, I don't understand why we had to come up huge thing, why it had to become a focus. Because to me, the way that you normalize things is by not constantly pointing them out, you just make it normal.
Mm.
You just make it normal. Like, they could have had two gay Jets guys who walk off together, and I'm just saying.
They could have.
And they kiss, but we don't have to make a comment about it. You just see it, and you know they're gay, okay. And gay guys in the game, keep them moving. That's how you normalize it.
Well, maybe the real question is, was this an update or a remake, right? Because there's a difference. If this is an update, then yes, when you go through this, the characters on this, you have to kind of update based on.
But then update it to the 80s. Then update everything. Update, You can take this right. entire story.
So that's why he probably didn't do it. So.
In the Heights, already done.
Right.
He's like, so somebody did that already.
I would like to, at the very least, skim through some of the songs on the soundtrack, some favorite quotes, if you have any, Carrie. I don't know, your least favorite quotes.
Her quote was, the end.
Done with this. It's really hard because the songs that I really liked, I didn't like how they were done in the movie. One of my favorite songs is Cool. I know in the original musical, Cool is sung by Riff prior to the rumble because all the guys are getting antsy. Mm-hmm. And he is like, let's play it cool. In the movie, it's sung by Ice after the rumble, after Riff and Bernardo have been killed, because now the guys again are antsy. Now they want revenge, and he's like, "Let's just play it cool because, we don't want to bring more trouble on ourselves." In this version, Riff gets a gun, and Tony's telling him play it cool, but it becomes a fight between Tony and Riff. Like, now they're fighting each other. And that, to me, was always something that, even though they were now walking different paths, they were still friends. Mm-hmm. Like, they still were boys. And now that they're fighting each other, and when Riff and hit the gang walk away, and it's kind of like, okay, we're walking away from Tony because he's... not the one anymore. I didn't like that presentation of it. Mm.
I mean, Riff's still happy to see him at the fight at the end. Or...
He is, because he thinks that he's going to come in, and be hating on them. But to me, just having them have that fight, it's like they never... In any of the other movies, they never had any animosity like that. There was no animosity of that extent. It was more like, dude, I'm not doing the gang thing anymore. It's like, come on, man, we started it together, man. And it's more like, sorry, Tony's still going to come through for us. Like, he'll be there for us. He's always a jet. But they didn't have that animosity between them. And I just didn't. Again, see the point of making them have animosity between them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll give a shout out to, again, I'm not a huge musical person, but I really dug very specifically during the dance scene. It was like the dance at the gym, Mambo.
A Mambo.
The trumpet in that one.
Yeah, it was dope.
Kind of like playing it back.
That music is...
The band was really good. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's from the original, too. It's more like there's a type of instrument. I can't think of the name, but like they shake it.
Oh, the is that the marimba?
Maracas?
No, not maracas. It might be marimba. I can't think of it.
I think it's marimba.
It's more in the in this one because they wanted to make it sound.
Oh, no. It's.
More like Latin, but I like that.
Did you have any, I don't want to say favorite quotes, did they have any quotes that piqued your fancy?
In this one, no.
I liked, because it was so relevant, well, not really, just because it was so real, where Lieutenant Schrank is like, by the time you get out, this will be a shiny new neighborhood of rich people and beautiful apartments with Puerto Rican doormen that chase trash like you away. Mm-hmm. I was like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good line. That was a good line. Because it's true.
I think Ariana had that one good line when Bernardo was talking about her having six kids and shit. She's like, you don't have six kids, get a cat. And then she lays down, like, look, I got this going on, this going on, this going on. I'm not going back to Puerto Rico to have six kids that are starving. I'm like, right. That was just like, I was like, that is a nice moment, man, to see like her become like, you know, power. Show her power. Yeah, her power. It was just, that was nice to see that in a film that's supposed to be this about this young era, you know. So
that was definitely. I think they made Anita in this one as good as Anita in the original, in that she's very much like, I'm going to live my life. I am, you know, an independent woman. Yes, I have this man, but I'm not on his arm, he's on mine, kind of thing, you know. So one line I did like, kind of funny, when they were in the bathroom and they were figuring out when they were going to meet up to discuss the rumble, and they picked a time, I forget what the time was, it was like in the afternoon or something, and Bernardo was like, we can't make it, we have jobs.
Yeah.
telling the white guy we got jobs.
It's like, can't make it that time, we have jobs. And the way he said it too, we have jobs.
You know, that actor had like, he actually won a what was it, not an Emmy, a Tony for, well, I can't remember which play, but he was like 10, and then he wasn't acting at the time when they approached him for this. He was done. He had gone like backpacking around Mexico. He was just married with kids, some stuff. And they were like, oh, some of the producers were like, oh, I remember this kid like won an award back in the day. Why aren't we talking to him? Because they had a hard time casting Bernardo.
Wow.
So that was very interesting. I thought he did well.
Did anybody else notice that Chico? So in that scene where Chico comes to pick him up,
Chino,
sounds like pants. That when he came over, did anyone notice who he looks like in that scene? Did he not look like Matt Damon in some glasses? I was like, Matt Damon.
That would the worst casting decision they would have made in this movie. Yeah, take us back to 1961.
You're like, hopefully that's it. So Matt, I mean, what can your Spanish act? I mean, his wife is Spanish. You know, he could.
Maybe Matt was busy. He was, you know, or he just saw the writing on the wall. He's like, nah, I'm good.
I'd like to work after this.
I'd like to work again. Call Scarlett.
She can play anyone.
She's still working. So, any what the fuck moments before we get to our final questions?
I think I've torn this down enough.
Yeah.
I think
that. I don't know. I think there's still some meat on the bone. Let me get.
No, don't even. Well, know.
I have more notes.
No, you know what?
I guess final questions. That was what everyone said. Great.
Okay.
I'm not even going to ask this one that I made up for it, because I think we've answered that question.
Which is what?
I don't even want to say it.
Oh, okay.
Did this remake need to be made? Blah, blah, blah.
No.
Did you know, in the more IMDb trivia, that lyricist Stephen Sondheim prefers this film to the 1961 film, as he told Stephen Colbert on the latter's late night talk show?
Was he high?
That's the right thing to say.
I guess.
That's where we are right now. Oh, what the right thing to say.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Did you say the right thing or the white thing? Okay, I hear you.
Both.
white
people are so scared to like.
Well, plus he's trying to make, I mean, come on, 75.5 million. He was trying to get more people to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, sure. To add a little bit more to his coffers, yeah.
So,
All right. So let's. First question is.
Will Smith.
Could Will Smith be in this film, and would he make it better? I'm just kidding.
I'd watch it if the first scene is him just open hand smacking Tony in the mouth and then walking off.
There was some open hand smacks in this movie, so I think he's qualified.
I'm sorry, Will. We had to do it.
No. Okay, I'm gonna answer this truthfully though. I could have seen him playing Glad Hand, the guy in the
Glad Hand.
At the dance. The guy who liked the dance, that's Glad Hand.
Okay.
I like the original Glad Hand, though. He was much more awkward, and he just wanted everybody to love each other. He didn't have any animosity against the kids who were feral beasts like this Glad Hand did. He just wanted them to dance.
Mm.
He was a simpleton, and I loved him.
He just wanted to get jiggy with it. All right. So, Darren, you want to ask our new question that you came up with earlier?
What was the new question again? Oh,
what different actor?
Yeah. What? So, and who would we prefer to see cast as Tony instead of
Ansel,
Divergent dude?
This is a hard question because I'm trying to think of actors in that age range.
Right.
And I don't really know many in that age range to play. Does anybody else have any ideas?
Michael Cera.
Oh, good God. Michael Cera. Might as well just be McLovin. What about... Okay, I'll say it anyway. It's wrong, but what about Robert Pattinson as a younger Robert Pattinson?
Younger, he's too old now.
Yeah, he's too old now. But like,
I can see him even more because he has a little bit more heft on him. That's the other thing. Both Ansel and the guy who played Riff were so skinny.
Yeah,
so light. Yeah. Light, like I felt like I could take them. You shouldn't feel like you could take the head of a gang. Robert Pattinson.
Do we know who is qualified? Like who's has singing, dancing? I guess you don't need dancing experience. But
oh well, I mean, if you don't go, well, what about what's his name? What about Tom Holland?
Isn't he short?
He's short, but they're all short. Everybody in Hollywood is short.
I thought Ansel, he looks tall in the movie.
No, Ansel.
He's tall. Everybody else. Did you notice everybody else that he stood next to when they shot was at a certain angle? Because everybody else is in Hollywood is like 5'4".
How about, I don't know if he has dancing, well, probably not. Andrew Garfield? The other Spider-Man?
Again.
Interesting.
And I'm thinking about age range, too.
That'd be interesting.
But
I don't know if he could. Can he dance?
Yeah.
I have not. He can. Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the actor who played Dear Evan?
Ben Rappaport. Ben. Ben. What's his? Ben something.
Yeah.
How old is he though? Isn't he younger? Ben Platt.
Ben Platt. He's like in his 20s. He could probably play it.
He is 24. Oh no, 28. Sorry, he's.
I was about to say. Age. Yeah, Ben.
Although Platt. I don't think he's. I mean, is he? I don't know if he's good looking enough to for this role.
That was my only concern.
Well, it's Ansel. Again, he's weird. He's super weird looking to me, man.
Yeah. He's not. No, it's not.
No.
Do we have an answer? We don't have an answer for this.
I don't think so. I mean,
we might have to reconvene. Definitely some research.
If anybody has a suggestion, they should let us know on our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I know that someone who's perfect. I just can't think of who.
Yeah. It's.
Of whom.
I mean, I could say something about that, but then I'd be canceled, so I'm not going to say it.
Listen, everybody's getting canceled. It's like the new thing to do. Like
that's what, there we go. That's what we rename our podcast to.
Everyone gets canceled.
Listen, and the goal is to make our guests say something that gets them canceled.
Come on, I know you can do it.
Day for it. I haven't. Well, I got like mini canceled by these girls in New Jersey one time, but like nobody cared.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's Jersey. No one cares. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was my line, Darren.
I'm from Jersey. I can say that.
You can say it. I can't say it.
Yeah.
My wife's from Jersey. Yeah.
Then you tell her to come on the podcast.
That's and like Matt Damon being married to a Latino person.
Well, I'm not from Jersey. No, no, nothing about Jersey, but I say it all the time.
Everyone's. Everyone gets canceled.
Yes. Who are you going to say? That's going to get you canceled.
I was just going to say the reason why we can't think of anyone is because it's really, I mean, white dudes, man, they're kind of boring and vanilla. So it's like kind of blend around, kind of hard to figure out either.
And
like if this was a brother, I'd tell you straight out who could
I'll be hosting the show by myself from now on. anyway, I'm going to skip our questions about
going to Will's
tears
house.
In heaven. Or our new updated one, Don't Leave Me by Blackstreet. Skip that question because that doesn't fit into the soundtrack.
No, Don't Leave Me.
I mean, you kind of answered this already, but what's the song? Let's just say this as a general, because this is based on a play, this is a previous movie, and I think we asked this before, but what's the song that encompasses or encapsulates this film, the story, and then which is your favorite song? Could be the same thing.
Something's coming. Something. Oh God, I don't know. It's either Something's Coming or Tonight, because they're both very pivotal to the movie. Tonight. I'll say Tonight, because Tonight actually encapsulates everything. It's like Tonight is the rumble, and then Tonight is Maria and Tony getting together, and Tonight is then Chino going out and looking for Tony. So yeah, Tonight is the movie that kind of, I mean, the song just encapsulates the whole movie. My favorite song is, my favorite song with vocals is Cool. My favorite song total but without vocals is the dance at the gym. Just that entire section from the first, you know, when what they're dancing to first, then through the mambo, like I like that whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, mine was both America, and I think that was from also the original movie. Again, I'm coming from the perspective that like the immigrant story is really kind of the main story, so obviously that one speaks to it. It has my favorite lines probably of any of the songs.
Yeah,
so that's my answer.
Mine, my favorite song is Tonight. It just gets stuck in my head, and it's a nicely performed song. But I'm probably, the song that I think encompasses the film to me is America, probably. Okay. I think it tells the story, everything about, I think from certain, and like, I think even the Jets kind of could have sang a version of this and made it for themselves, you know, which would have been interesting for them to do. So, but yeah, America.
Interesting.
American people.
All right. So the final part of our show.
Barry gives the film a 10.
No. Yep. We have to ask.
What's like a 10 out of 100? Then yes. It's a 10.
Wow.
Now, I... So if I was to rate it out of a 10
being the highest,
10 being the highest, I would give it
3.
No, I would give it a 6.
Hmm. Based on what you've told us today, that seems pretty darn high.
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
I'll tell you why. I'll give it a 6 because Ariana DeBose, yes, she was good. I did like America, even though, you know, I didn't know why they changed it, but it didn't matter. Right. I like that it was very, that was very vibrant and very alive. I did enjoy that. And really, this is just based on the songs. The songs were, most of the songs were fine, and I liked how they sound. And you know, it was not a big deal that, you know, some of them were changed. I just didn't like the story progression.
Mm.
But I put it like this: if I just listen to the soundtrack, I think the soundtrack is decent. Listen to the soundtrack without the movie attached. Yeah, attach the movie, and then I was like, oh, I'm not. So that's why I'm trying to give it like a 6 for the soundtrack, but I do not care for the movie.
Mm.
Mm. But if we're just talking about movie, no soundtrack, it's like a 2.
I mean, I gave it a 6 myself. But again, not a musical guy. I didn't really particularly enjoy the first one, the original one either. Sorry. So
you can all be right.
It's fun. I don't remember what I gave the original, to be honest.
Wait, what did you give this one?
6.
6, okay.
What did you give the original?
What did you give the original? I have no idea.
So we were talking about before the show. I couldn't find my notes. I have no idea where they are for that.
I would ponder it's probably a little higher than this. So at least I hope from both of you, I hope that's the case, right? I like there were certain individual performances I thought were good. The movie was just like, it just, I'm sorry, it went, the romance just got into it so fast. I was just like, what, the minute they did that, I was like, yeah, this is gonna suck. Especially since I like West Side Story, the original one. I'd probably give it, I have to say, I'd probably give it a 6 as well. I would never watch this film if we weren't doing this podcast.
Yeah.
So people keep asking me, have you seen it? Have you seen it? I'm like, no. And it's sitting right there on my TV waiting for me. It's going to be waiting for a long time. So
I only watched it because it got so many good reviews. And I said, well, maybe let me be open-minded.
Yeah.
I've had
a few people tell me wow, so good. I'm gonna have conversations with these people too.
Yeah, but I didn't. But I feel like a lot of people didn't see the original.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who were saying
that was so good didn't see the original, and so are not comparing anything. It does bother me the reviewers who did see the original and said this was as good or better, and I said, well, maybe you haven't seen it in a while. Like, I just don't understand how you can look at this and say this is as good or better, except for the casting.
Are you sure your question wasn't, not maybe you haven't seen in a while, but like, maybe you're stupid.
Well, that's the underlying color. That's what's like right here below the surface, but you know, you can't say that. You
decided to be diplomatic about it. Okay.
You have to.
You gotta go. You sure you're not serious about what you said just now?
All right, well, okay. 6 is across the board. It's an incredibly long film, so good luck if you're gonna watch it. But
oh my god, mind numbingly.
Carrie, what's going on with you?
What are you up to?
Wanna share?
Nothing much, just working, kind of. I don't really have a boss right now, so
that's the best kind of job.
dare to dream.
Is, but then it leaves you open to like people who are just like, oh, you don't have anything to do. Let me pull you in over
here. Oh, right. Yeah. Right now,
there's this one woman I cannot.
Oh, careful, careful.
Careful, no, careful. No, she might be a fan.
Don't worry, we're rebranding soon.
Yeah. So,
anyway, there's this wonderful woman who I work with who, yeah, it's just she's
a little. You like challenges.
I do.
There you go. See,
I don't like need to have them every day of my life.
Oh well, you gotta be clear about that.
We'll see how it goes. Hopefully I will be getting a new boss like another month or so.
Well, that's cool.
Maybe I could do it for another month.
Well, yeah. I have a boss and it's fine.
Wait, you had a boss?
I have a manager, just like most people.
No, I mean, bosses are fine. Bosses are cool.
I have several.
Yeah, you know.
But yes, well, I'm one of them. I lead this. I'm the number one host on this show, and I tell Darren what to do. So that's always fun. Well, so Darren, what do we have going on? we have some more podcasts. We have some scheduled. You've got your whole slew of podcasts.
It's always fun hanging out with you guys. So, you know, do you have any other non-musical stuff? Musical, so yeah.
Well, we've done both West Side Stories, and we did The Crow. So yeah, I think of the next one.
That was the best, though. Crow.
Yeah. Well, so you know they're making the remake.
Yeah, I'm not gonna watch it.
So that's what you said about this.
What you said about this one.
Yeah. I learned my lesson because these people fool me with all these good reviews. The next time, if they say, oh, The Crow is so good, you know what? F you. I'm not watching it.
What if I say it's so
I'm
good?
I'm not watching it.
But I have a podcast.
You make me watch it to be on the podcast? That would be torture and wrong.
We'll see.
Not watching it. It can't be better. It won't be better.
Well,
these ghosts just need to like terrorize the set so that it just never, I mean, think about it. They've been trying to work on it for years and it hasn't come to fruition yet. I think it's cursed.
Well,
the way it's
they've already cast Bill Sarsgaard, so I think it's happening.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We will agonize over that another time.
Yeah.
Eric, it's been great to have you. It's been great to hear all of your stunning input on this film.
And we have to hang out and talk about other stuff.
Yeah, yes, we do.
Stuff that will get us canceled in real life, but
yeah. Well, like you said, everyone gets canceled, so that's going to be our next new podcast. Everyone gets canceled, where we just go and get people canceled every week. Will Smith, we're coming.
He's already done.
All right, guys.
Yes.
Yep.
Be sure to follow us on our respective IGs, Chris_Saunders_music, DarrenJenkins919, and the Download Podcast Show everywhere. Listen, comment, subscribe.
Please do. If you're on Spotify, you got no excuses. It's really easy to go up there and just give us a star. One star, pow. Just one.
I'm not asking for five. Just one.
Just the one. So I guess that's it. Until next time, I am Darren Jenkins.
And I'm Chris Saunders.
And this was The Down.